These days, we miss the proverbial water cooler. In this podcast, our goal is to spark authentic conversation in a new way. And we've invited some of the smartest, most influential people we know to join us. Together, we'll get real about our industry, our triumphs, and our challenges. Welcome to Beyond the Spreadsheet.
Hello, I'm Helena Carmel. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Spreadsheet. This is Capstan Live's spin-off podcast, where we get a little more personal, talking to professionals about the triumphs, trends, and challenges that we see in our industry. And we try to have a few laughs along the way. Today's guest provides a fantastic service to real estate owners. This man can help you overcome a very common challenge that I know so many people struggle with, but I'll let him tell you about it. I want you to meet Mr. George Birchlaw of RE Analytics. George, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, Helena, thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Aw, and I think he means it. Listeners, he's a very genuine guy. I think he means it. Tell us about yourself, George. I know that you do very interesting things in the world of real estate. First, just tell us about you as a person. I know you're a Dallas guy.
Well, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, and I moved to Texas in 1994. And was in the kind of the construction world for a little bit, and then realized that I really wanted to get into the real estate side of the business. So I went back to business school in 98 to 2000, and then kind of jumped right into kind of real estate acquisitions and asset management. So I've been in Dallas and kind of real estate acquisitions, asset management development since 2000.
Wow. I'm always so impressed when people go back to school and pivot like that. Like, that's not an easy thing.
It is not, you get a little out of practice with, you know, waking up early, taking tests in the morning and kind of, you know, worrying about quizzes and homework assignments as, I think I was 28, 29. So it was a little bit of a shock to the system, but, kind of, you're learning super interesting stuff. So basically it was a lot of fun and very challenging coming from without a business background, from an engineering background into the business world, but, really, a big challenge, but I really enjoyed it.
So that's so interesting. So you're really well placed to speak about what we're speaking about today, an engineering background and a business background and real estate. Like, you kind of bring all of our worlds together here.
It really helps and gives me a unique perspective. Typically, you know, real estate, a lot of kind of accounting and finance people, but basically, and not kind of engineering and construction, not really a separate world. But if you kind of understand both worlds, it really helps out, especially kind of managing projects and managing large development projects.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm amazed there aren't more George Birchlaws, actually, because that's an awesome skill set now that I'm like,
I went to Penn State and I was in the architectural engineering program, and I try to kind of convince them to kind of, you know, offer one or two real estate classes to the students, and we're working on it, but I think it'd be a tremendous advantage for the students just to, you know, see the world of real estate.
That's awesome. Oh, and that's so nice that you're still in touch with your alma mater and connected with them. Mm-hmm. That's lovely. Okay, so off topic, but that is a very nice thing. So you are the founder of RE Analytics.
Yes.
What inspired you to create your own firm? What problems were you trying to solve?
Well, kind of when I first left business school and went to my first real estate job, I was just amazed at how, let's say, unorganized the real estate company was. We had a large portfolio of properties. And, you know, coming from business school, you think everything is super efficient and everything kind of, you know, works perfectly. But when you get into the real world at a company, you realize, boy, they've got a lot of properties all over the country. Do they really kind of understand what's going on with each property? And it was tough to judge, you know, how are the properties doing? Are they, you know, financially performing or not? And so I saw that. And then we had a couple of, you know, assets struggle a little bit. But we had a tough time really understanding that because there was so much data to sift through, you know, the entire portfolio to identify those assets. So kind of long story short, I developed a platform to kind of track all the assets to really understand, you know, is it meeting the pro forma and the financial projections we made kind of when we bought the property.
So meaning that before you created that platform, people were just like, your old company was just like drowning in data.
They had a lot of data, but they really had no place to put it to be organized to
right.
really understand how all the like, right. all the assets were performing. So you get like operating statements in from the property management company or the accounting firm. But if you've got, you know, 20 properties, that's 20 operating statements that come in, a lot of data to sift through, and then you're kind of comparing it to how you underwrote the deal, and, you know, is this what you expected? Is it trending up? Is it trending down? And it gets to be quite a bit of data for these companies to manage.
I believe it. And honestly, the truth is there are probably people who are managing more than 20 properties, and it's just exponentially growing. Like, you're just drowning in numbers, and you need some help to organize it. So I imagine this challenge is really prevalent.
And we see kind of them maybe using an Excel spreadsheet or something like that to kind of track some important data. But once you get over about 3 or 4 assets, it becomes a little bit overwhelming, and it kind of really outgrows Excel. So you really need kind of a platform to do it.
I see. So RE Analytics is a software platform that does organize this important data, but it's more than that, right? RE Analytics also serves as a partner that organizes this data and analyzes it and presents it in like a useful way.
Exactly. So we're really what they call a tech-enabled service. So we have our own software platform, and we use that platform to kind of do all the data management and analytics for the entire portfolio. So we can work on small portfolios, you know, 5 assets up to, you know, 10, 15, 20, 50 assets. And basically we do kind of all the back office, you know, number crunching and really data management that typically these real estate companies don't have the time or technology to do.
It's so cool. Like you saw a real need and you created something from scratch to like fill that need. Like that's really remarkable. You're like an old timey like inventor, you know, like
it's a lot of fun, and you just kind of see the challenges real estate companies have. So I went to 2 other real estate companies after that, and the problems were all the same. Everyone has a bunch of properties, you know, are you really tracking it? And then you see kind of all these random Excel files and kind of, you know, do the principals who, you know, have to report to the investors and the lenders, do they really have, you know, all the data organized for every one of their properties? It gets to be time consuming and tough for those guys to do that.
It's just too much. People can't handle that on their own, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just not enough time, not enough manpower. And I imagine it's much more like cost effective to work with somebody like you, like on a fractional basis or whatever, than to bring in somebody to specifically deal with all of this data, I imagine.
Absolutely. So we're just hyper-focused on the data management. So we don't, you know, take calls from the tenants to complain about roof repairs or parking lot issues or, you know, leases expiring, or we don't deal with the lenders. We just kind of do all the back office data management, you know, tedious work that kind of frees up the internal team's time to really kind of review our analytics and make strategic decisions.
Oh, that's awesome. So you guys provide all this info and then they can just like look at it, analyze it, and go from there. Like you guys set them up, tee them up to do what they need to do and just open up their time. Wow.
Exactly. So we're kind of a consultant too. Hop on Zoom calls, go through kind of, you know, what we found, what trends are happening, you know, rising rents, you know, operating expenses, you know, property taxes, insurance, you know, all the nuances of a real estate deal.
So I do want to talk to you more about your trends that you're seeing, because I feel like you're the guy to talk about the, you know, what's buzzing. But first, can you give me like a win? I love a good success story. Like, can you tell me like a good story about how you guys have, maybe changing someone's life is too dramatic, but you know, improved somebody's situation significantly, helping them, you know, be more successful.
Sure. And our biggest win was the company I developed it for. We had a substantial portfolio and we had probably 4 or 5 asset managers who were kind of trying to track. I think each of them had maybe 10 to 15 assets that they were responsible for. And, you know, it's tough to kind of really understand all of the actuals that sit in accounting software to with their projections and then compare all that to the underwriting. And so when we kind of implemented the platform to this company, we reprojected all of the financials for every property in the portfolio because there was such a disconnect between the actuals and the projections. So it really helped us better understand, you know, assets that were, you know, performing great, assets that were doing okay, then assets that really needed some help. And then kind of once we got started, we were just kind of tracking more and more things, property taxes, insurance policies, loan documents, interest rates, maturity dates, and then kind of really just expanded from there.
You can't see my face, listeners, but I'm like appalled at the thought that none of that was being really tracked or measured before. Like, ooh, wow. And then things just kind of spiraled from there after you kind of created the platform and I don't want to say beta tested it with them, but you were like, hey, check this out. And then things kind of went from there and the company
absolutely
just grew.
We would have calls with real estate companies and they would say, you know, do you track, for example, debt covenant compliance? And I said, no, but that's a great thing. So basically then we go back, code it, and then now we can code that. We can track debt covenant compliance.
You don't code too, do you, George? You don't do the coding yourself, do you?
I do. I would say...
Oh my God, he does the coding too!
About 70%. Not the super complicated stuff, but the kind of the because I learned a little bit in business school. And then once you kind of see the problem and they, you know, they tell you kind of the problem, it's like, yeah, they probably need to track this. Here are the fields. Here's how we'll add it to the platform. And then kind of add it, you know, after a week or two, we can kind of get it pretty refined.
So you can really customize. Mm-hmm. And I was impressed before. And then you said you also code it yourself. My gosh. George, it's not really fair that you have so many skills. It's a little frustrating. I mean, look, I'll allow it, but wow. Okay, so I do want to pick that brain because you do come at it from such an interesting perspective with the technical background, with the engineering background, with the business background, and in all of your years in real estate now. So, like, what's the buzz? What are you seeing? What are the... I feel like we're going to talk about challenges, but I'd be happy to hear about any glimmers of hope as well. What are people talking about these days?
I think everybody's talking about interest rates is what everybody is talking about. So, 2021, 2022, the Fed raised interest rates so really dramatically, you know, unprecedented. I think there were like 11 or 12 interest rate hikes in a row. So really any asset that was bought, say 2019, 2020, 2021, no one projected any of this happening. So with, you know, that happening, we see a lot of people scrambling to really understand, boy, if my loan matures, if I bought the property in 2021, it's a 3-year loan, it's going to mature in 2024. You know, what does that debt maturity look like? And am I going to have to come out of pocket or really, you know, understand to kind of, I guess, true up the loan balance based on a new loan to value and debt service. So we see a lot of companies, I think 2024 could be a little bit bumpy, but hopefully the Fed is done raising interest rates, we think they are, and then maybe kind of drop them down a little bit in 2024 to help these guys out.
I wish there was like a crystal ball that we could consult about that, you know, like it's hard to predict. We often talk about, you know, like we deal with a lot of different tax strategies and legislation is always evolving and changing. And if I had a nickel for every time somebody said, well, if I had a crystal ball at Capstan, it's like, okay, I get it. We don't know.
Sure. One thing that's also interesting is the office market. And I think, you know, everyone's aware of the, you know, work from home and basically how
right.
they impact the office buildings and kind of tenants having a, you know, maybe shrinking their footprint or, you know, going fully remote. So that's really another curveball that real estate owners are battling right now.
You know, I was actually just talking with someone the other day and she works in affordable housing. And this is like a trend that she's starting to see is that people, as they are shrinking their office space and there's all this office space, like they are hoping to kind of start to convert that into more affordable housing, which is sort of an interesting like pivot, you know, an interesting way to repurpose that space. She said the same thing for churches, too. Hmm. I guess people don't go to church as much as they used to. And, like, there's, like, more, like, worship space available that's not being used. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting, like, thinking about the way that people are repositioning properties today. I don't know. Something you mentioned that is a challenge, like an outdated pro forma. Is that something that you guys are seeing a lot now?
You bet. I think if you bought an asset, so like I mentioned, 2019, 2020, there's no way you would have projected the interest rate dropping, then the interest rates going up. So, you know, your exit scenario that, you know, you plan for 2024 is probably needs updated or needs relooked at to kind of, you know, do you think you're really going to sell it at a substantial price, or because the interest rates have affected price, that price may come down a little bit. So what does that mean for returns to your investors, or, you know, are you going to have to kind of come out of pocket, or unfortunately maybe do some capital calls? But it just kind of happened too fast for the real estate. The interest rates changed kind of too fast for the real estate industry to kind of quickly adapt.
I did want to also ask you, George, speaking of adapting, and speaking of people who are good at adapting, CPAs, we work with them all the time. And like we said, legislation always changing. Those people are on their feet adapting 24/7.
Sure.
You work with a lot of CPAs too, right, George? How do CPAs and real estate investors, like, how can they work together and create more opportunity? I know this is something that you feel strongly about.
You bet. I think there's tremendous opportunity because, you know, a CPA is a trusted advisor for a real estate company. And I think, like I mentioned, real estate companies have such needs maybe outside of tax and audit. They probably need some maybe consulting help and kind of maybe, mm-hmm. you know, data management or tracking. But we think if CPAs are open to partnering with kind of other real estate service providers to kind of help their real estate clients, I think it's a huge opportunity. It could be a win for everybody.
That's awesome. We are all about partnership here at Capstan. So love it. I am asking all of our guests if they could leave our listeners with one message. But I want to first of all share a message I saw on your website that I was obsessed with. And it's just that simple quote, "What gets measured gets managed." And it's so simple, but it's so true. Like in every aspect of life, you know, like as dumb as like, are we out of eggs? Like, if you don't know if you're out of eggs, you can't buy more eggs. Like,
right.
It's just so simple, but it really, yeah, you have to quantify if you want to, I guess, qualify. But sorry, I really wanted to ask you. I didn't just want to set myself up to talk about a quote that I liked. Is there a message that you could leave us with, George?
You bet. I think we've seen this over the past 18 months, but, you know, the world is changing so fast. And basically what worked in the past in the business world may not work in the future. You know, when you add the technology and AI and the work from home and all these kind of different things that are happening right now. So I think my advice maybe to real estate companies or CPA firms, just be open to kind of partnering and with services that leverage technology, because maybe, you know, what worked in the past may not work in the future, and maybe be ahead of the curve a little bit.
Those are very wise words, really. You know, it's so funny because things are changing so quickly. And my middle daughter is trying to decide what she wants to major in college next year. And, like, there are majors that didn't exist when I was in college. And I'm not that old. Like, it's wild. Yeah, the world is changing faster than ever. And, yeah, we need to hop on board that train and make the best of what is available to us now.
You bet.
Can I ask you kind of a weird question? I heard that you have a secret to your success, and I must know what it is because you are so cool and you do so many things. What gets you going in the morning, George?
Well, every morning I have a bulletproof coffee. So I've read about this coffee, I think 2018, and I heard some kind of professional football players drink this in the morning to help them kind of sustain their energy through the morning. So it is coffee mixed with a little bit of butter and some other additives that kind of maybe kind of don't give you the caffeine jolt, but kind of maybe sustain the energy for a longer period of time. So I've done that probably since 2018 and find it to be very effective.
Listeners, he looks like he's in good shape. He doesn't look like a man who's, you know, drinking buttery coffee on a daily basis. How much butter goes in, George?
Oh, just a little slice. It's not too much.
Just like a little pat of butter?
Just a little pat of butter. And then you kind of blend it, and then you kind of... I also add salt to the coffee, too, to kind of change up the bitterness of the taste. But just some things I've found that kind of work for me.
And it really does help you feel energized longer?
Well, it sustains the energy, so you don't get kind of that caffeine jolt. It kind of it sustains the kind of the energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like maybe, you know, you digest it more slowly with the fat in there,
you're able to
right. feel the benefit of the caffeine longer without, like, that big crash.
Exactly.
Fascinating. My God. I love that it's called Bulletproof Coffee, too. Like, that's a great name. Wow. Okay. George, let's hang on because I want to get your exact recipe for Bulletproof Coffee later. Thank you so much for coming on. I thought that this was so, so interesting. George, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, and I feel like they will, is there a way that they can reach out?
The best thing would probably be to connect on LinkedIn.
Oh, beautiful.
George Birchlaw at RE Analytics, and basically, you know, reach out through LinkedIn, maybe connection request, and I'm happy to chat with your listeners about real estate.
Beautiful. Their other needs. Beautiful. I will. Awesome. And we will, obviously, we'll link to you in the show notes so people will easily be able to find you and learn more about your services and possibly your coffee. Thank you so much. It was fascinating. And thank you for joining us, listeners. If you liked what you heard, why not subscribe? We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. Or just visit capstan.com/podcasts. Thanks for joining us on Beyond the Spreadsheet. I'm Helena Carmel. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Beyond the Spreadsheet, a special series from Capstan Live. We hope you enjoyed this window into the world of today's guest. For more actionable takeaways and motivational moments, follow us on your favorite podcast provider or visit capstantax.com/podcasts.